I'll have another Daffy, Egger said, holding out his empty glass. Pierce immediately filled it, and Egger immediately gulped it down. Well then, he said, let's say you can Betty the lock, hanging on a rope and break the drum and then lock up again with nobody the wiser. How do I get on in the first place, past the Scots Jack with his sharp call? There is a way, Pierce said. It's not pleasant, but there is a way. Egger appeared unconvinced. So you put me on in some trunk. He's bound to open it and have a see, and there I am. What then? I intend for him to open it and see you, Pierce said. You intend? I think so. And it will go smoothly enough if you can take a bit of odour. What manner of odour? The smell of a dead dog or cat, Pierce said. Dead some days. Do you think you can manage that? Egger said, I swear I don't get the lay. Let's settle the down with another Daffy or two. And he extended his glass. That's enough, Pierce said. There are things for you to do. Go to your lodgings and come back with your best dunnage, the finest you have, and quickly. Egger sighed. Go now, Pierce said, and trust me. When Egger had departed, he sent for Barlow, his cabby. Do we have any rope? Pierce said.
Rope, sir? You mean hempen rope?
Precisely. Do we have any in the house?
No, sir. Could you make do with bridle leather?
No, Pierce said. He considered a moment. Hitch up the horse to the flat carriage and get ready for a night's work. We have a few items to obtain. Barlow nodded and left. Pierce returned to the dining room, where Miriam was still sitting, patient and calm.
There's trouble, she said.
Nothing beyond repair, Pierce said. Do you have a black dress? I'm thinking of a frock of cheap quality, such as a maid might wear.
I think so, yes.
Good, he said. Set it out. You'll wear it tomorrow morning.
Whatever for? She asked.
Pierce smiled.
To show your respect for the dead, he said.